Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. When you imagine Jesus, what is he doing? Some people imagine Jesus most often on the cross, or perhaps they remember the stories where Jesus is healing and teaching. But you could say that for Luke, Jesus is most Jesus when he is eating, sharing bread with people. Jesus eats with all sorts of people, with powerful leaders like Pharisees and priests, and also despised tax collectors and outcasts. He is often accused of eating with the wrong people, and he is even accused in Luke's gospel of being a glutton and a drunkard. Part of that abundant life that Jesus lived was the enjoyment of food and drink in the company of others. And he fed people, once feeding 5,000 people as an example of God's providence and abundance. As he prepared to give his life, he offered bread to his disciples and said, "This is my body, given for you." So it is not by accident or unexpected that in Luke's post-Easter story, two people have an encounter with Jesus which peaks at a dining table when he takes bread and breaks it and gives it to them, and they finally recognize him as the risen Christ. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go back to the beginning of the story, in which we find two companions, one who's named Cleopas and the other is not named or described, walking together on the road. They are leaving Jerusalem on the evening of the third day after Jesus was killed. They are discouraged, disappointed. They thought Jesus was the Messiah, the one who would change everything for the Jewish people, free them from the oppression of the Roman Empire. But Jesus had been executed as a criminal. Some of the women and the other disciples had this crazy story about meeting angels who had said he had risen from the dead. But who could believe such a thing? Nothing had changed. It was over. Then a stranger joins them on the road. And Luke writes, their eyes were prevented from recognizing Jesus. They begin to walk with him, to tell him all about Jesus and what happened in Jerusalem. They say, "We had hoped. We had hoped that he was the one." What sad words. "We had hoped that Jesus would fulfill our hopes and dreams. We had hoped that he would save us. But now even that hope is gone." And the stranger begins to talk with them and to describe for them the Hebrew scripture concerning the Messiah and God's vision of mercy and peace and justice for the world. When they come to the village where they are stopping for the night, they strongly urge this stranger to stay and eat with them. And so they sit together, and suddenly there's a reversal. Jesus becomes the host, and he picks up the bread, and he gives thanks, and he breaks it, and he offers it to them. And in this moment, when Jesus does this most Jesus thing of all, everything changes. They recognize that Jesus is here with them. And in that moment, he vanishes. But their eyes have been opened, and they know they have met the risen Jesus. They get up. Their sadness and fatigue are gone. Their hunger vanished. They rush back to Jerusalem, 7 more miles, to tell everyone that they have seen Jesus. He is alive. Now, this is a story not just about a man named Cleopas and his companion 2,000 years ago, but about us as well as we walk on our journey of faith. Some Bible scholars have suggested that the reason the companion of Cleopas is not identified or described is to leave room for each one of us, Luke's readers, to put ourselves in their place. In this story, each of us is invited into this encounter with the risen Christ. Jesus meets us, as he met Cleopas and his companion, in our places of brokenness, places of regret and sadness, and so often we don't recognize him. Perhaps it is being caught up in our brokenness, overwhelmed by grief or shame, anger or despair. Perhaps it is because Jesus doesn't show up in the way that we hope or expect. Jesus doesn't just fix everything for us, doesn't rescue us from all that goes wrong in our lives. And we don't always feel the way we think it should feel to be with Jesus. So often, Jesus shows up in unexpected ways, as a stranger on the road. So often, Jesus reveals himself in simple, ordinary ways. The greening trees, the food we eat. As he did when he spoke Mary's name in the garden that Easter morning, calling her out of sorrow and fear. As he did when he broke the bread to share with Cleopas and his companion. After they recognize Jesus, Cleopas and his companion realize that he's been with them all along. Weren't our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us on the road, they say, with perfect 20/20 hindsight. Their eyes were prevented from seeing Jesus, but something in their hearts knew his presence all along. A colleague commented this week in our text study, "This is usually the case for my various God sightings. I don't know in the moment what I'm seeing, not consciously, but later when I reflect on it, I am able to see what happened, to see with the eyes of my heart that Jesus was there." So often that is the way it happens. And yet we know that we have an invitation each week to meet Jesus at the very place where Jesus is most Jesus, at the table. Where he says, "This is my body given for you. Do this to remember that I am with you." And even on the days when this ritual feels rote, when our hearts do not burn within us and our eyes do not see, still we can trust that Jesus is with us, just as he promised. Sometimes, though, we do know right in the moment, don't we? We have that gift of knowing that God is present. I will tell you that Friday night, as I stood with that young man who had lost his friend and listened to him talk to me about his life and his son and the connections that bind us, as I listened to him wonder with uncertainty and hope about the afterlife, and what it all means, Jesus was there with us. Jesus had been there before me, and Jesus was there after I left, with Tomas's friends and with his mother who had not yet heard the news, with the officers and detectives who gathered there to find the truth of what had happened. Jesus was there. But even when we don't have that experience of awareness of his presence, we can trust that Jesus walks with us on our journey, that he is present in all the moments of our ordinary lives. And we can practice such awareness, practice seeing Jesus not only in hindsight, but with us each moment. Spiritual writer Evelyn Underhill wrote a prayer in response to this story of the road to Emmaus. And missing my slides, there's the prayer. "Lord, Open our eyes that we may behold thee. Open our ears that they may recognize thy voice, not in some special religious experience, some great moment or wonderful service or perfect setting, but just as we go along the common road. Come to us with your living touch on events, your sacred hand opening the scriptures. You have the words of eternal life, Lord. Give us courage and love to open the door and urge you to enter. Come in, enter my small life. When out of the heart of my own homely circumstances you feed me, then my eyes are open to the presence I long for and can never understand. Come and abide with me, meet me, walk with me. Enter my humble life with its poverty and its limitations, as you entered the stable of Bethlehem, the workshop of Nazareth, the cottage of Emmaus. Bless and consecrate the material of that small and ordinary life. Feed and possess my soul. Amen.